The scripture that we have before us today is the longest selection of scripture that you will find in the common lectionary from which I often preach. But its history goes back much, much further, because for centuries now, on this Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday, the church has heard these words of the Passion in their entirety. I think so often as the scripture is being read, I look around and our eyes are floating around. Well, we've heard this one before. But I'm telling you, you have not. We never exhaust the depths of scripture. And so I want you to try in as much as you can this morning to imagine you have never heard this story at all. You remember, I hope, that the Bible didn't just fall out of the sky and there we have it all ready to read. The Bible was made over a period of at least 1,000 years by God using many different people with many experiences and perspectives about how God was present in their lives. And long before the word of scripture was ever written, it was passed on by word of mouth. It's called the oral tradition. But even more basic than that, it is a story. And story is what our lives are all about. So let us now hear this story of Jesus' passion. There were 8 days to go before the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the high priest and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes were trying to come up with a plan to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during this time, lest they incite a riot. Now, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. And as they sat down to eat, a woman came in carrying an alabaster jar full of very expensive perfume. And she walked up to Jesus, she opened it, and she poured it on his head. And those who were there were absolutely indignant at what she had done. It was inappropriate. But they also said, "Do you realize how expensive that perfume is? That is worth an entire year's wages, money that could have been given to the poor." And they continued to scold her for what she had done. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Don't talk that way to this woman, because she has done something very wonderful for me. You will always have the poor with you, and you can give to them anytime you want, but you will not always have me with you. She has done what she could, and she has performed an important service for me, because she has anointed my body for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, the story of this woman will be remembered with admiration." Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, had decided to betray Jesus, and so he went to the high priest to share his plan, and they were absolutely surprised, but they were also very pleased. And so they promised to pay him. And from that moment on, Judas Iscariot was looking for the opportune time to betray Jesus. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, Jesus' disciples approached him and asked about preparations for the Passover meal. And Jesus chose two disciples, and he told them to go into the city and look for a man carrying a jar of water. Go with him wherever he goes. And when he enters the house, say to the owner of this house, the teacher needs a room for the Passover meal, an upstairs room which is ready. And it was in fact ready. And it occurred to the disciples that everything happened just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared for the Passover meal. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had sat down and taken their place eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you here will deny me or betray me." They began to be distressed and say to one another, "Surely not I." And he said, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping his hand in the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written, but woe to the one to whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better that person not have been born." And while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and he blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body." And then he took the cup, and giving thanks for it, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. For truly I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit again until I drink it new in the kingdom of God." They went from there to the place that is called the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I'm going before you to Galilee." And Peter spoke up and said, "Even though all of the others desert you, I will not desert you." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter said even more virulently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. They went to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Stay here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be distressed and agitated, and he said to them, "Even now my soul is greatly grieved." He told them to stay awake and wait for them. And he went and he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "Abba, Father, may this hour pass from me. With you all things are possible. Let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." And he came from prayer, and he found the disciples sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not stay awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you will not come to a time of trial. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And Jesus went away and prayed, saying the very same words. And he came back once again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. And he came a third time And he said to them, "You're still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough, for the hour has come for the Son of Man to be betrayed. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him there was a crowd carrying swords and clubs that the chief priests had given them. Now the betrayer had given them the sign. He said, "The one whom I kiss is the one you should arrest and hold guard upon." And so Judas went up to Jesus and he said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and they arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew a sword and he struck a servant of the high priest, lopping off his ear. And then Jesus said, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching and you did not arrest me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled." Then all of them deserted Jesus and fled. A certain young man was following him. He was wearing nothing but a linen cloth. And they caught him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed them at a distance in the courtyard. He even sat down next to the guards to warm himself by the fire. And now the chief priest and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave their testimonies, but the testimony did not agree. And then some of them spoke and said, "We heard this man say, 'I will destroy the temple that was made with human hands and in 3 days rebuild it not with hands.'" But even their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and gave false witness. But even the point of their testimony did not agree. And then the high priest stood up before them and asked, "Jesus, have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent and he did not answer. And again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming from heaven on the clouds." And the high priest was so enraged that he tore his clothes and said, "Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision?" And all of them condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him, and they blindfolded him, and they struck him, say, "Prophesy." And the guards took him over, and they beat him as well. Now, while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls approached him, and she said, "I know you. You were with him. You were one of them." And Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even understand." And then the cock crowed. And a little later, the servant girl, seeing him, began to say to the bystanders, "Yes, this man was one of them," but again he denied it. And a little later, the bystanders, looked at him and talked about him and said, yes, I'm sure he was with them. Listen to his accent. He is a Galilean, but Peter stood up and he swore that he did not know the man. And then the cock crowed a second time. And Peter remembered the words that Jesus had spoken. And he broke down and he wept. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests assembled the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and they led him away and handed him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, you say that I am. And then the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate asked Jesus, have you no answer? See how many charges they're bringing against you? But Jesus made no further reply. And Pilate was amazed. Now, at the festival, Pilate used to release one prisoner for the crowds, for whomever they asked. Now, there was a man, Barabbas, who was in prison with others who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd began to ask Pilate to release a prisoner for them. And then he answered them, do you want me to release the king of the Jews? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priest wanted him dead. He said, then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews? And they shouted back, crucify him. And Pilate asked, what evil has this man done? But they shouted it all the more, crucify him. And so Pilate, wishing to please the crowd, handed Jesus over to be crucified. And then the soldiers took him out to the courtyard, to the palace of the courtyard of the palace, and they called together the whole Roman cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting thorns, they made a crown of thorns that they pushed into his head. And they began saluting him, hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him in the head, and they spat on him, and they knelt down, and they paid homage to him. And after mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his clothes back on him. And then they led him out to crucify him. As they went down the road, they compelled a passerby coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to the place that is called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. So they crucified him. They took his clothes and divided them. They cast lots to see what each one would take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. And the inscription read the charge. It said, King of the Jews. And with him they crucified 2 bandits, one on his right, one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from that cross. And in the same way, the chief priest, along with the scribes, were also mocking him to themselves, saying, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from that cross now so that all of us may see and finally believe. And even those who were crucified with him taunted him. When it was noon, a darkness fell over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine. And they gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, we'll see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And then Jesus took a deep sigh and he breathed his last. And at that very moment, the curtain in the temple that shielded the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. And the centurion who stood facing him and witnessed him breathe his last said, "Surely, this man is the Son of God." There were also some women looking on from a distance, and among them were Mary Magdalene, and the mother of James the younger, and Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow and provide for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up to be with him in Jerusalem. And when evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Peter and asked for the body of Jesus. And then Pilate wondered if he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked whether Jesus had been dead for some time. And when he learned from the centurion that Jesus was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. And then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, he wrapped it in a cloth and laid it in a tomb hewn from rock. And then he rolled the stone against the door of the tomb. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.